I'm Heidi Moore, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. There were two deaths this weekend at the Electric Zoo Music Festival that have been linked to the use of the drug MDMA, also known as ecstasy or Molly. But don't be deceived by that friendly name, Molly. Four others were hospitalized, and the last day of the event was canceled. Now, according to a report from the Associated Press, officials in Boston are warning that a bad batch of the drug is being sold in the Northeast. Three others overdosed in Massachusetts this weekend. Joining me now to talk about these warnings and what it tells us about MDMA is Stephanie Jones of the Drug Policy Alliance. She's a spokesperson on issues related to MDMA use and nightlife. Welcome to WNYC, Stephanie. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks.
And I'm going to open this up to listeners. I'm sure you'll have reactions as well. The phone lines are definitely open. Do you have any questions about MDMA? Anything you've heard that you want to ask about? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And if you've taken MDMA and you want to call in, we want to hear from you. What's been your experience? What were the effects? What did you think about when you heard about these recent overdoses? Again, that's 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. So, Stephanie, the Post reported that the young woman who died told an EMS worker that she took six hits of Molly, and the young man had a very high fever when he arrived at the hospital. What do we know about what caused those two deaths this weekend?
Well, aside from what the official report has said, I mean, taking six doses of MDMA is just, it's not a good idea. And it's just a demonstration of the fact that a lot of young people today, they don't have the safety messages or the kind of instruction about any safer way to use this substance that would avoid that sort of thing. As for the young man, one side effect of taking MDMA is that it raises your body temperature and it raises your blood pressure. So if you're in an environment where you're dancing or you're outside in the hot sun, that can cause your body temperature to raise, and that might explain the high fever that he had when he came in. So again, this is a case where education or young people had messages where they understood the effects of the drug. We might not have seen these tragedies take place.
And we have a listener, Mark, in Brooklyn, who wants to talk a little bit about that festival. Mark, are you with us? Okay, we'll wait for Mark to connect. In the meantime, Stephanie, the Boston police have said they're investigating the possibility of a, quote, bad batch in the Northeast. Do you have any sense of what that might mean?
So it's possible when you have a substance to test it, actually, to find out what is actually in the pill or the white powder that you might have. You can actually purchase these testing kits online. They can help you understand if you're going to choose to use this substance, what might be in it. The police obviously have access to much more complicated and more official techniques that gas spectrometry that can make a measurement of what's actually in there. And so what they're probably seeing is that the pill or the powder has been adulterated with a substance that's more dangerous. It's actually very responsible that they're looking into this and that they are getting the word out into the community so that people know.
Okay. So let's go to Liz from Morristown, New Jersey. Liz, you had an experience with MDMA, right? What happened?
Years ago, I should say, when I was a little bit more responsible about drug use, but I was given, and this was in Portland, Oregon, I was given a form of Molly, which was in a powder form, and it was brown, and what I was told was it was like a more pure form, mm-hmm. which you could tell by the color, which is like some, I don't know, it's just something that a lot of times drug users will say things like that, but I never quite figured out what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. Stephanie, we should say Molly actually stands for molecular, right? I mean, there's kind of almost a scientific aspect to how pure it's supposed to be, right?
Well, it's short for molecule, yes. And I think that the pure form is actually supposed to be a white powder substance, but it does come in a lot of different colors. And as far as I understand, that's kind of, it's a different marketing strategy or, you know, like probably what you heard actually was just a way to try and make it seem more attractive to you. Again, without checking that substance or testing it in some way, there's no way to really know, like, if it actually is pure MDMA or if it might be mixed with something else.
What is it usually mixed with, by the way?
The most common thing recently is a class of drugs called cathinones, which are more popularly known as bath salts. They kind of mimic some of the effects of MDMA, and so that's why they're often mixed in. But it's actually quite a distinctive profile chemically than MDMA. And so a lot of times when people are trying to be safe and responsible and prepare for what drug they're using, when they're actually getting something else and they're not prepared for the effects that that particular substance might have.
All right. And what's the difference between MDMA, ecstasy, and Molly? The terms seem to be used interchangeably.
To some extent, that's right. I mean, MDMA is the chemical name, and that's, you know, refers to the pure form of the drug. Ecstasy was commonly used around 10 to 15 years ago when the drug first really came onto the American scene, and it usually actually refers to the pill form of the drug, whereas Molly is used very popularly right now and is commonly for the powder form of the drug. So it's all meant to refer to the same type of thing. But with ecstasy and with Molly, obviously you have that that chance of it being adulterated or mixed with something else. When you're referring to MDMA, that means the chemical itself, the actual pure form.
And we have a listener, Daniel, from Midtown Manhattan, who had an experience with MDMA. Daniel, do you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. What was your experience?
This is probably my fourth time taking it. I usually do it about once every quarter. Your body just feels, you kind of feel like you just want to dance all night. I don't feel as much as dehydrated. I do get a little bit of anxiety, but I just have like a feel-good mood. The music really enhances it. And I also have these diffraction glasses, which actually help with the lighting.
And you actually tried to test it, right?
Yeah, we bought a test kit online. There's actually different test kits available. We actually bought one that has four different acids, so you can actually kind of just use math and just simple subtraction of what you can get rid of. So, like, you can test it for cocaine, or you can test it for methamphetamine, and if it comes out negative, then you go to the next test and kind of see, because every test will show that it has MDMA. You just got to figure out what else it has in it.
Yeah, Stephanie, is it possible to actually test that or to tell the difference if you don't have a test kit?
You can definitely test MDMA for a number of different adulterants. It depends, like the caller said, you have to have the right kind of testing kit depending on what you're looking for. There is a very new kind of testing kit that also will test cocaine for a particular adulterant in cocaine. But I think the most important thing to note is that these testing kits are actually considered drug paraphernalia, and they're illegal in most states, which is really, truly a shame because it's a complete, like, safety measure that people are trying to take to be responsible. And unfortunately, it's hard to really get there. And at an event like Electric Zoo, even if they had wanted to have this on site, they would not have been able to do that just because of the reason that the drugs are illegal, and they wouldn't have been able to allow that into a licensed event, even though it would have made a lot of the use a lot safer.
Yeah. Just for people who are tuning in right now, I'm Heidi Moore, in for Brian Lehrer, and we are here on WNYC FM, HD and AM New York, and a shout out to all the people in New Jersey who I can see are calling in, WNJT 88.1 FM Trenton, WNJO 90.3 Toms River, WNJY 89.3 Net Kong, and WNJP 88.5 Essex. So let's take a call from Mia from Red Bank, New Jersey, listening to one of those stations. Mia, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Very interesting topic. And it really, I'm glad that you're talking about it. It's scary how drugs are becoming stronger and more powerful and falling into the wrong hands. My experience, when I came to New York about 25 years ago, I was in an experimental age. I'm 50 now, and I did take ecstasy, and I was at the Limelight and danced the night away. Loved it. Was feeling happy, you know. It was wonderful. And didn't have any side effects afterwards. Next morning I was fine and went on about my day. I didn't feel any type of addiction, and that's something I'm curious about. Is this form, is it addictive? I have heard that even ecstasy back then was addictive, but I just didn't have any need to take anymore, or, didn't feel like taking anymore. What's going on now with all this? Why is it happening and getting stronger? I guess that's a dumb question, isn't it? But
not really. I don't think so. I think that first of all, to my knowledge, MDMA is not physically addictive, and the experience that you had actually mirrors the experience of a lot of people using it today. A lot of people use it; they have a great time. It's completely non-problematic, and they really don't experience too many negative side effects of it. At the same time, like anything that is people experience, as fun or positive, it can be, habit forming in that people want to do it a lot. So that can happen for sure. The other thing to say is I think it's popular right now because the electronic music scene has gotten popular, and so that has expanded into other types of music. Hip-hop has been mentioning Molly and that sort of thing. So it's just an exciting thing for young people to try right now, I think, like your experience was when you were young.
Right, but there are risks. There have been a lot of reports of an increase seen in emergency rooms of people coming in with the effects of MDMA. Do you think the drug is seeing a comeback, or are the effects themselves starting to actually change, as Mia suggests?
I think that it's probably the same side effects that we've seen before. It's just that the use might be trending upward a little bit. And the thing that's different now that may not have been the case earlier on is that the original rave scene came with a lot of education among the people in the scene about how to use the drug safely and what to do. At this point, the scene is growing so quickly that there aren't a lot of those educators, older people, to kind of give guidelines, and a lot of young people are jumping in without any access to either people who know how to use the thing safely or realistic drug education that's going to give straightforward guidelines about how to use safely if you are going to use. So I think that's making a big difference now.
Right. And one of the effects of MDMA is not just that it gets you high, but it's an empathogenic drug. What does that mean?
Empathogenic refers to the fact that you just have this feeling of love and connectedness and togetherness with who you're with, which is actually what makes it distinct from a lot of other drugs that might be used recreationally. This one has a unique profile, and I think that's what makes it attractive to a lot of people and want to try it.
Right. And let's go back to something you said about the risks of dehydration. I've heard that there's a risk of dehydration and also risk of overhydration with the drug. Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, it's really tricky. I mean, you have to kind of monitor your water intake very carefully because we have seen people with negative outcomes or even death when they've drank too much water. It's one of those cases where a safety element kind of goes a little bit too far. Somebody misunderstands something, and if they're not in an environment where they're dancing or doing a lot of physical activity, you don't need to down like 3 bottles of water an hour. Like one would probably be fine. So it's just a case of really kind of knowing what the guideline is and matching it to what the activity is that you're doing so that you don't either not drink enough water or drink too much water.
Right. And you wrote a blog post for the Drug Policy Alliance about what steps the Electric Zoo event organizers took this weekend. You noted there were help points and medical staff at the event, and there were free water refill stations, and yet these overdoses still happened. How much of it is in the control of the users or organizers of these events?
Well, I think that what made this event, Electric Zoo, unusual is that the promoters really had gone to every possible step that they could take to try and prevent these things without directly saying there's going to be drug use here and we should take steps to manage that. It's like what I said earlier, where you could have drug checking or pill testing on site. That might take care of some of the problems, like if there had been a bad batch and people had a testing to go to on site, they would know that and not take that substance. But unfortunately, that's a step we can't take right now because it's just the environment is that the drugs are illegal and we can't take that step, even though it's the safer, health-oriented direction that we might want to go.
Right. And with this lack of education, what do we know right now about the long-term effects of MDMA? Is there any research at all on what happens with prolonged use?
There is not a lot of research, but there are some studies going on right now. MDMA is being studied actually for its effectiveness in treating PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's actually shown a lot of positive outcomes. In terms of long-term use, I think that the research is mixed. There's some research that says there can be some effects on memory and some research that conflicts that. Unfortunately, again, due to the fact that the drug is illegal, the whole environment for conducting research is just completely stifled. And so we would really need to, you know, push to open that up to understand what the long-term effects really are.
We have a listener who's seen some of those effects. Michael from Hell's Kitchen, what have you seen?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I worked at an infirmary in a party just similar to this in upstate New York, and we were staffed with about four or five doctors and nurses and plus some pretty big guys to help with the kids who are, some of them getting violent. My question is, how prepared were the party promoters in staffing the infirmaries with trained healthcare professionals?
That's a great question, and that's a really important part of planning for an event the size of Electric Zoo. To my knowledge, the promoters of this event, they try and overstaff, both in terms of on-site medical and in terms of enforcement, keeping an eye on the crowd. But I think one of the other things that a responsible promoter has to think about is the nearby hospitals, because if they are having to transport people off-site, they need to make sure that the hospital nearby is ready for that and is appropriately staffed. So that's a really good thing to bring up.
Thank you, Michael, and thanks, Stephanie, for that reply. Let's go to Rick from NIAC. Rick, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. What was your experience with MDMA?
Well, I took it probably 20-something years ago. A friend of mine moved up from Austin and was coming out of Austin, and it was a good experience, but I do remember that it raised your heart rate pretty well, and when I talked to your screener, I was wondering, you know, if the effects of, like, things like Red Bull and all these drinks like Monster and all that kind of stuff that these guys mix with vodka and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the combination of those two things racing your heart could have a really bad effect on it. I mean, I myself had big heart problems and had to go through some medical things over the years. And I wouldn't be surprised if these people died of things going on, you know, with their heart racing like crazy and having trouble with that if they had something they didn't know about. And they're doing this stuff all the time, or even maybe just a few times, it could really do a number on them, you know. So.
Yeah. You raise a really good point. I mean, when you drink Red Bull or any caffeinated beverage, it is just going to exacerbate that whole increase in heart rate, and it also dehydrates, which contributes to the need to drink water and possibly overheat. So it's something that it's really important to be aware of, and this is another element of drug education that I think really needs to get out there, is that young people, even though we might ask them not to, like they tend to mix things, and there are, you know, safer ways to do that, and there are ways where we should just say, just don't put those things together, and that's the kind of concrete specific drug education that I hope will come out as a result of seeing these tragedies repeat over and over.
Thank you very much. And we'll have to leave it there with Stephanie Jones of the Drug Policy Alliance. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm Heidi Moore of The Guardian, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Coming up next, we'll return to the developing conversation about Syria, this time with a look at why Russia has ties to that country. Stay with us.